riches. How do they apply to you, and how do you make, many people would say, you've got to be in poverty to be a Christian, to really serve the Lord, you got to just shuck it all down, get rid of it, and be a poor boy all your life, you know. And others say, well, there are the blessings of God. If God blesses us, then certainly riches couldn't be all that bad. So where's the level ground within this? First, I want to take you to the prime root of what the word, most, there's only, what, three, four, word, five, then with the tenses, in the Greek, about riches. But they kind of all come from one root, and that root is P-E-L, pel. And pel means to flow, or to fill, or to be full, right? And really what we could say then, using that etymology, then to be full of goods. Well, what are we talking about? Then full of what? I know a lot of people that would have many different answers to that concerning people, what they're full of. But riches primarily, we think of it as in the monetary sense. But there's so much more to it. So let's go to that famous parable that Christ said, you either understand this one or forget it. You're not going to understand any of my other parables. And that was the parable of the sower. And you see this old country boy broadcasting grain. You know, you can cover about a 30-foot swath this way. And some of it falls in precarious places, especially here in Arkansas, on rocky ground, and some in thorns. And he uses that analogy to teach us something. So, if you would, open your Bibles to the 13th chapter of Matthew. And we're not going to teach the parable of the sower, but we're going to get down to the data that Christ Himself would have you learn from that. All right? And that data is this, verse 22, Matthew chapter 13. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. What word? The word of God. That's what the seed is that you're sowing, is the truth, the word of God. And the care of this world. What's the care of this world? Boy, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. I got the house payment next month, and I've got this, and I've got that, and I'd like to be a good person, but if I don't rip somebody off, I may not make it. I really am not a bad person. I wouldn't purposely rip somebody off, but I'm going to fudge a little bit, all right? That's cares of this world, all right? Fear, in a sense. Or, good time Charlie. Boy, things are really rolling in this world, and I need to get out there and not miss anything. All kinds of cares. None of you would probably understand what I mean by that, but be that as it may. And the deceitfulness of riches. Let me read that to you again. And the deceitfulness of riches. Riches can be very deceitful. Boy, it can change people. And I mean in a big way sometimes. Then what? Choke. This Greek word means to strangle, all right? To choke the word, that's to say the word of God. And he becometh unfruitful. Do you know what that means? Unfruitful in your life in every way. You're not going to be fruitful in anything. I don't care if you prepare the best little seed bed in the world. If you have fallen under that spell, you're good for nothing. Nothing you do is going to accomplish anything, and you're going to be maybe a... you're not going to succeed at anything you attempt to do, but you'll make a start, and then, boom, down it goes. You can't get caught, my friend. The most important thing is that you produce fruit. It doesn't matter how much. That means you're getting ahead. You're not spinning your wheels, treading water, or falling behind. You're getting ahead. Verse 23, and he that receiveth seed into the good ground, this is what you'd better do, is he that heareth the word, what word? The word of God. What is the word of God? The truth. And understandeth it. Boy, that's quite an addition there. A lot of people read it, but they have no earthly idea what they read. Number one, I could go on and on. Number one, they're not familiar with Hebrew idioms. Number two, they are not acquainted with figures of speech, metaphors, analogies, and so forth, because the Word is full of them. Which also beareth fruit. Understanding will do that. And bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Hey, it doesn't matter. God gave each of them the same reward. Just that you're moving ahead in something. So, riches can be deceitful. It can be one of the most treacherous things you can handle as far as your eternal soul is concerned. So, what is the basic lesson in that Christ would have you know? Is the way you get ahead in life, both peace of mind and success in the world, is to do it His way. All right? Hear His Word. His Word tells you how to work. His Word tells you how to save. His Word tells you what food to buy when you go to the grocery store to keep your family healthy. His Word tells you how you should treat other employees so that you're popular, A number one, and move ahead. That's what the Word does as far as your private life in this world. It tells you how, if you've read it with understanding. I mean, it is the blueprint that God left here, how you take these flesh bodies and be somebody, a child of God. As far as the world is concerned, when you understand God's Word, you don't have to be too smart to get ahead of the people of the world. I mean, they're not that slick, okay? They just live from one day to the next and one year to the next, don't really have much of an outlook, and just kind of wonder, well, I wonder how that happened to be good for me this time. They don't recognize God's blessings when they see them. So, riches, I just want to establish that one fact, riches can be deceitful. They can change people. Some people can't handle them. Now, let's go, if we may, while we're here in Matthew, turn over to the 19th chapter. I want to take the case of where one old boy, we're going to take a few cases here. One old boy had lots of money. Boy, I mean, he was, and he was a pretty good old boy, as you're going to find out. Matthew chapter 19, let's pick it up with verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? In other words, you can just hear it. I want to really be a good old buddy. I want to be a good partner. I want to be liked by everybody. When people see me coming, I want them to start smiling and say, here comes old goody goody again. I want them to know I'm just a plain old good old boy. All right? And he's got to be a good manager or he inherited a lot, all right? He's got to be pretty sharp. 17. And he said unto him, Christ's answer, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, number one, why would Christ answer him that way? Did you catch it? Did you understand what he asked? What good thing shall I do? Well, what he's referring to, there's not too much good about what we do sometimes without God's help and doing it God's way. Without the commandment, that's to say the word, the seed. Usually we set out to do something good, and hey, if you're in the dark and are blind compared to God's overall plan as to what's going to succeed and what isn't, I know what your batting score is. I can tell you beforehand. You know. that it's probably you're a very frustrated person, and you got problems, okay? Because we don't, you know, our righteousness is as filthy rags compared to God. He is good. He is fair. Why? Well, He paid a price for us when maybe we don't deserve it. That's a start. 18. He said unto him, which of those commandments? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. This is one of the places where the Greek word phanyons for these tender-hearted little priest with robes that walk around said, the Bible says you shall not kill. The 10th commandment is thou shalt do no murder in the Hebrew, and there's a great deal of difference in a criminal homicide and in taking a criminal homicide and putting the juice to him, all right? He deserves it. Turn the power up, all right? That's God's way. That's why here Christ translates, or it's translated properly, phanyons from the Greek. You're not supposed to kill people. It's not nice, okay? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. 19. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And these are various laws and commandments. 20. Do you know what the young man said? The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. Ever since I was a little old kid, I've done this. Mama made me do it, right. She had me in Sunday school every Sunday, and I was, you know, had on my best suit and went down, and I've just been a good old boy all my life. What lack I yet? 20, Jesus said to him, if thou wilt be perfect. Now, he didn't say you got to be. He said, if thou wilt be perfect. Well, I have never met somebody perfect yet. All right, my friend? Jesus is kind of tickling his sinker here a little bit, if you got it, okay? Go and sell that thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. 22, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. And I'm sure he was. For he had great possessions. So what did his riches do to him? His riches were more important to him. And this doesn't mean sell out lock, stock, and barrel. That's his movable. It's kind of what we'd call liquidity today in a way. Allow me that. Okay? Get rid of it. Follow me and trust God to provide for you on this trip. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm a good old boy, but I'm not that good. And away he goes. Well, then will riches save your soul? That's the point that I utilized this. The answer is no. If anything, it can be deceitful and cause you to use very bad judgment. Very bad judgment. And in concerning finances and this world. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. It's a worry, isn't it? Well, let's talk about that a minute. If you gain the whole world and lose your soul, hey, you're not going to be around much longer, friend. You're going to be out of here. And hopefully many of us are going to live for, not hopefully, we know, we're going to live for an eternity. Hey, let's go back to the 6th chapter of this book of Matthew. Life is really a worry to some. Worry about this, now worry about that. Can't help it, they call me a worrywart. Have faith, I'm a good Christian. And this is kind of like the person that God gave the little talent, okay? And he took it, I can't invest this. I would invest this, but the market will probably go down tomorrow. Or I could buy a new plow and get a lot more plowing done, but I'm afraid I'm going to hang on to it. Do you know something? If you have a locked account, When I was a child, if you had had $100,000, wow, do you know what? You would have been rich. $100,000. Well, let's see. We had 15 houses, homes that we rented out. And we probably, we probably didn't have over $30,000 invested in them back in that day. So think what $100,000 was then. You know, I mean, it would $100,000 then. I'm talking about when I was a child, would support you. But if we had locked that away, just locked her up, it's my mind. I'm gonna hang on to her. How many houses today can you buy for $100,000? Shoot, you could blow half of that on a car. In other words, you got to use this, my friend, when it comes to investments, all right? In other words, you can't lock something away and keep it. You've got to make it work for you. I'm not giving a financial lecture today. I don't even know how this slipped in here. Maybe somebody needed it. I don't know. But be that as it may, my point is, if you are so worried that you're afraid to make a move, friend, you are going nowhere but down. That's what worry is good for. Listen to this. Chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. This word mammon is really kind of a tough word to translate from the Greek to the English, whereby it's really clear. And I would like to use the English word avarice. 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 Which means what? It means to too great a desire to have wealth. I think that really says it. You know, too great a desire to have wealth. Did wealth save the old boy back there that, you know, was talking to Jesus? No, it didn't. It doesn't help anything in that respect. It can make it easier if you've got common sense. But if your desire is too great, now everybody should want to get ahead. Don't you ever apologize for wanting more finances. That's fine. That's natural. But if your desire is so great that that's all you dwell on, that you don't have time for your Father, I guarantee you, you're going to fail. Because in this generation, if you don't have the blessings of God, you're going nowhere, my friend, because God causes things to succeed. Take this ministry. Little old church in Northwest Arkansas had 120 members and some of those come from all the way from Tulsa and all around. And today they come from New Jersey and all over and what have you, you know. But it went into a multi-million-dollar-a-year ministry. That's a miracle. Who did it? God did. Why? Because we teach His Word, and His Word gets the job done. Not man's word. Not this man's word or any other man's word. But God's word. That brings God's blessings. I'm telling you, everything you touch is going to move ahead for you if you're in His will, especially pertaining to His ministry. All right? So, now, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought. This word in the Greek is worry. And I want you worrywarts to really wake up and listen to this for me. Therefore I say unto you, take no worry for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? In other words, if that's all you concentrate on, what time are you going to have to do some thought to make you successful? Did you hear what I said? Now, American people are, you know, there's one thing I'm glad that I'm as well-traveled as I am, because the American people are sure strange people. They're afraid they're going to starve to death, and I look at them, and I say, you don't look too hungry to me compared to some people I've seen around the world. And those duds you've got on, you look pretty well-dressed compared to some patches, tatters, and shrouds I've seen masses wear. Yes, but it's bad. It's so bad. A lot of our people don't know what bad is, all right? And it's kind of sad in a way, but at the same time, it's humorous, and I'm sure our Father smiles about it. I'm going to give a little secret away before we start. You should be concerned about your clothing and your food. But my friend, worry won't help it one iota. It hurts it. Worry causes you to fail. Alright? Worry makes you afraid. And friend, if you don't move, what's the old saying? Let's use it. If you don't strike while the iron's hot, I'm sorry. You missed it. Okay. And worry is what causes you to not strike while the iron is hot. All right. Is this coming across? You all know what the old saying, strike while the iron is hot. All right. If you're branding calves and you get that sucker all cherry red and ready to go, you know, and you hold her out here and fluff around too long and put it to the calf, and all you're going to get is a bad brand. You know, you got to get it while the getting's there. All right. Worry or hesitation is bad. That doesn't have anything with being careful in planning your life well, but worry won't help you one iota. It's a deterrent. It's one of Satan's tricks. Okay, 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not. Hey, they don't work. Neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? In other words, your Father can push buttons, my friend. And if He takes care of nature itself and you're one of His children, He can change people's minds. You know? You need a contract? I don't necessarily like to use these business terms as far as our Father is concerned, but so help me God, it's true. And if anybody knows anything about contracts, this ministry does. We have hundreds of them with some really hard nut cases to deal with. I don't know why it is, but in broadcasting, they're always interested in this. You can say, I'll pray for you, and they laugh at you. We'd like to pay that, but just let us pray for you. And your contract is rippity-doo, it's torp, and you're gone. That's why we always pay in advance. And we got their number. You take some of that green stuff and wave it out there in front of them, and it's, yes, we want you. Wave it at them again. I mean, when you're dealing in the world, you know what bait to use, all right? And I'm glad to say that this ministry pays all broadcasting in advance, 30 days. Why? God blesses us. Are we worried about it? No. He'll take care of it. It wouldn't do you one ounce of, it wouldn't help one iota if you worried about it for us. All right? What good would it do? All it would do is make your old gallbladder turn loose a little extra juice. And you know what it's like when a little extra juice hits your tummy. Old Grandpa did. And what that juice then does in your tummy, it says, well, there's nothing in here to eat. I'll just work on this line in a little bit. Nomby, nomby, nomby. And he starts working on the little old side there, and you start really worrying then, and it goes over the other side and chewy, chewy, chewy. And pretty soon you're a worried mess and a wreck. Doesn't help anything. What he's saying is, if God takes care of the squirrels, don't you think He can take care of you, squirrel? All right? What do you want to worry for? He can handle it. That's called faith, all right? Now, that's not to say that a person that worries does not have faith. I know better than that. There are some people that are natural, born that way, worry warts, okay? And maybe it's good to have a few of them around, you know? It makes you really make sure you don't mess up, okay? Because if they worry enough, then you wouldn't want to be embarrassed to say, I told you so. Be that as it may, worry does not help you or anything. If you love God and you're serving Him, He will see that you have what you need, only you do the work. I always have this saying in ministry, I don't care what your ministry is, if it's just smiling at people. If you do the work, He'll furnish the bricks, and you don't have to beg for it. I wonder how many people would be surprised in the day this little old church was conceded. Whatever you call it, it happened. There's never been a plate passed. I wouldn't allow it. Why? Well, there may be somebody down on their luck, and you think I'm going to pass a plate in front of them that they're embarrassed? They might even quit coming to study God's Word if they thought it cost them something, if they had that attitude. Do you understand where I'm coming from? I really believe what I teach. I know God will take care of it. God didn't send out beggars. He sent out teachers. And worry won't cut any slack anywhere for anything. All it does is hurts. And it hurts bad sometimes, my friend. Verse 27. Which of you by taking worry... can add one cubic, that's one moment, that's a split second, nanosecond, unto his stature, that's to say to his life. How many of you can worry for one nanosecond and add, let that worry cause you to live 1 second longer? If anything, it's going to cause you to live a lot seconds less because it'll destroy you. And why take you thought or worry for raiment, clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And they don't worry either, okay? And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Beautiful. Hey, you know, you couldn't buy clothes like that. And I'm pointing for the tape audience to these flowers I mentioned from Brazil. 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, here today, gone tomorrow, all right, the grass, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Do you have faith enough to know if you do your best, He's not going to let you down? He's not telling you to go on just a sit-down strike, all right? He's saying just go on along. I teach, God speaking, that every servant is worthy of his hire and you're going to get paid. God promises that to you. He really does. So don't worry about it, because if you do, then you truly are one of little faith. It's going to work, friend. God's in charge, your Father. And He loves you, and He's getting very angry at your enemies and His. So what are you worried about? You don't have anything to worry about. 31. Therefore, take no thought or saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles, that's to say the heathen, the non-believers, seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth. Do you understand that? He's in control, and He knows that ye have need of all these things. And do you know something? If you work at it, He'll provide it. It's guaranteed. You can do whatever you want to do, as long as you use common sense, of course. 33. But seek, here's some good advice. Don't pass it up, my friend. But seek ye first. This is before you start out. Don't start by worry. First, the kingdom of heaven. Seek it and His righteousness and all. How many? All these things shall be added unto you. It's His promise. And I can stand before you and guarantee you that it's true. I've taught God's Word for 40 years. And I made a promise to Him, just don't let any deacon board bug me and I'll work for free. All my life, I'll work for free teaching God's Word. Just don't saddle me up with a deacon board. Give me some elders that can fire me if I lose my mind or go, or, you know, somebody pulls the stopper, you know, and I lose my gourd, it goes empty, all right? But don't saddle me with a deacon board because I want to teach your Word and I know how deacons are. Okay? And there are some good deacons. Let's see, I knew one. they're okay. They're really all right. But no man, if you are a man or a woman of God, no individual should have the right to tell you what to teach and what not to teach, or you're not serving God, you're serving man. That's just the way it is. That's what cuts the difference between a man of God and a servant. So, you might say, well, how did you eat? Hey, He really fixed me up here. You know? I'm bragging, aren't I? I'm not rich, but I've never been hungry. All right? Not since I met Him. If I need something, I believe I could reach down and touch one of them yellow flowers and it'd turn to gold. Yeah? I really do. No. Literally, He keeps His promises, beloved. That's what I'm telling you. And you're looking at living proof of it. I've taught God's Word 40 years and I've yet to receive one dime. I work in a multi-million dollar ministry and I receive not one dime salary or anything. Why? I don't want people to wonder why I teach God's Word. Not for the kind of riches they might think, but at the same time, I'm rich. Why? He provides. All right? Lordy, I've had tractor agencies, I've had farms, I've had military service, civil service, retire, you know, just everything. He just always has had everything there before, just when I needed it. It's just like me reaching out to get a screwdriver and He's got it there. Tighten that thing up, you know. I really didn't intend to go here with this, but here I sit. God will bless you. Look what He has done for us, all right, in this ministry. It's unbelievable, but He has done it. Why don't worry and seek first His Word, the kingdom, and do it. Teach it. Sow it. I mean, that's what broadcasting is get that truth, that Word out there. And what does that truth do? It grows some of it in what some precious people we have found. All right? Verse 34 to complete. Take therefore no thought, or don't you worry for the morrow. For the morrow shall be thought for the things of itself. In other words, there'll be enough worry and troubles there for that. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, what He's saying there, and this may shock some of you, is today's trouble is enough for you today. But you know what? Think about it. You can handle today's troubles. It's those tomorrow that you're sweating. So don't sweat them. Take care of today's, and you'll be all right. Okay? So, why did I want to cover that? Worry has kept more people confused about riches than any other thing, I believe. Because it puts people in fear. And hey, if you ever get burned once, learn from it, but don't hide from it. Again, I don't want to go into giving any financial advice, but trust God, use common sense, and don't worry. have faith in God to know He knows you. He knows right where you are today. And He knows what you need. And if you ask for it, especially if it's to work in His ministry, He'll get it for you. All right? No problem. Man, I mean, He can work miracles. Okay. Now, okay. Is it religious to be poor? You know? I mean, here I stand. I don't have a dime to my pot name, but I am a servant of God. Just enjoying being poor and teaching the Word. Well, now stop and think a moment. If God owns all the cattle and all the mountains, and you're one of His number one people, what are you doing poor? Huh? That doesn't make sense. And God is not the author of confusion, but of peace of mind. Okay, let's go to Matthew 20. What do we want to go to? 26 or 27 I want to go to. I want to go to 26. That comes before 27 anyway. Here's the disciples. All 12 of them. We got this beautiful bottle of ointment. Very expensive. I mean, that rascal will bring big bucks even at this day. And this woman brings in this bottle of anointing oil, and she breaks the top off of that and just starts pouring it all over the Lord. I mean, we're talking bucks here, all right? I mean, this is money, man. And what did the disciples say? 26:9, 8, let's take it there. But when His disciples saw it, they had indignation. That means they got upset, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." There's the poor again. Bless their little hearts. 10. When Jesus understood it, He said unto them, "Why troubled ye the woman? And would leave her alone. For she hath wrought a good work upon me." What she was doing was anointing Jesus Christ for His burial. All right? Anybody deserves that. 11. "For ye have the poor always with you." How long did He say we were going to have poor? Always. And we got poor little girls that get pregnant now to stay poor, and our government sets them up with house. They can move away from their parents when they're four, you know, just kids. Because we have the poor system called the welfare system. All right? God, Christ said, "You're going to have them with you always. But me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial." I mean, here was the Son of God that was going to be the most blessed gift the poor could ever have. Because He is the gift that, in truth, makes the poor rich. All right? Wealthy, better said. 13. "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached to the whole in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." That woman that knew the value of the Son that was going to be crucified, that she poured this anointing oil upon Him, knowing this was the greatest gift that would ever be given to the poor. That it doesn't matter how poor you are. That He sent the instructions. He created these flesh bodies, and this is the operational procedure. This is the instructions on how to put it together and make it work. All right, it's that simple. We still got these people that like to get the box out and, I could do this, and they start putting that rascal together and get it all done, and here's a piece left over. And they got to go back and start all over. That's the way people are. But Does poor help you? There's a way we can answer that, and it's over in 27, Matthew 27. Let me see what verse it is here if I can pick it up. 57. Do you have to be poor to serve Jesus? Verse 57 of Matthew 27. When the even was come, there came a rich man. Now, let's look at his bank account here. He is a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. Here we have a disciple that is exceedingly rich. And we know from written history he was a lot richer than you might think. He had 10 mines in Europe. And in Glastonbury today they sing the song, Joseph the Tin Man. He was very wealthy. But he was one of Christ's disciples. He was also Mary's uncle. 58. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. A rich man took that anointed body with rich ointment, and when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed, therefore fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah 53, I think 9, that he would be buried in a rich man's tomb. So Joseph of Arimathea was rich with what? The blessings of God. Don't you, if you're rich from God's blessings, don't ever apologize for it. That's what we all work for, is riches in the blessings of God. We could have kept reading about the old boy that said, I'd really like to go with you, Lord, but I can't sell everything. And then Jesus would say, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to go into heaven. Well, all he was saying is, by the main gate, there was the little bitty needle gate, all right? I mean, there were thieves and robbers, and you didn't open the big gate at night. And if some old traveler comes in with a camel, the eye of the needle gate was open, and you had to take the pack sack off of the old camel, and then he could just waddle right on, you know, crawl right through there and then load him back up. All he was saying is, the rich man has got to get rid of his ill-gotten gains. Did you hear what I said? Ill-gotten, not God's blessings. Okay, so there's a lot of mystery to it. You never want to be rich if you want to go to heaven. Hey, that's false. That's false. God loves rich people just like He loves poor people. As a matter of fact, listen to me, sometimes the rich have been very good servants. That's why they're blessed so much. And do you know something? Rich is according to is in the eyes of the beholder. All right? Rich to me is having my house paid for and not owing anybody anything and having all I want. I think that's rich, you know. I found out at a very young age that when you go to piling up shekels, then they become something to worry about sometimes. What will I do with that? Well, I've got to invest this here. I've got to do. So what you want is just what you need. That's rich, all right? Again, rich is always in the eyes of the beholder. It's what makes you happy, whatever makes you happy. And when riches become so many that they begin to make you unhappy, well, you need to take a little reevaluation on life and put more faith in God, knowing He's always going to provide for you. Now, in closing, I want to go to Revelation. That's the last book in the New Testament. I want to go to the church of Smyrna, which you'll find in 2 verse 8. And we're going to conclude with this. Let's really think about rich for a minute, all right? Chapter 2, verse 8. Listen to it. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. In other words, Christ was crucified, He resurrected, He's alive today. I know thy works. Number one, they're workers, all right? And tribulation and poverty. Poverty for what reason? That could be poor. No, it's because seed took there, and most of the world thinks they're very poor in what they do, and they'll talk about them maybe sometime. But thou art rich. Pale, my friend, full. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Our brother Judah takes a lot of flack from that one. But our brother Judah is not a Kenite. And the Kenites are the ones that claim to be of our brother Judah, and they're not. So what is he saying? You're rich if you have the truth of God's Word and you know His overall plan. That God loves even the Kenite if the Kenite will love Him, will say, my Father is my Father, then he's no longer a Kenite but a son of God. And God loves them. He loves all of His chief children. He loves all of the races. They're His kids. Why wouldn't a father love his kids? So, truth is the seed that was sown. Truth is the Word. And Christ is the living Word. Listen to Him. Don't worry. Don't fret. Work. And ask His blessings. Repent of all your sins. And you will succeed. It's that simple. It's God's promise. And I promise you that He never reneges on a promise. If something goes wrong, analyze. Now some might say, oh, but I had trouble the other day. Well, good for you. I'll bet you worked it out. Well, yeah, but I thought I was going to go under. You worked it out, didn't you? God knew you could. He will never saddle you with more than you can handle. And it's good practice for a Christian to be able to play hardball occasionally, even in the business world. Why? Otherwise, you're a hothouse lily, and the first time the hot air hits you, you're gone. All right? You couldn't handle yourself in a feather storm, much less a snowstorm. Because there are a lot of people throwing snowstorms out there. They'll snow you if you let them. All right? Okay. Riches. Whether it's being poor or whether it's being rich. It's how you got there. All right? It's how you love Him. How you trust Him. But Pell is to be full. Full of the Spirit of God. Full of His love. You're rich when you do. You're rich when you're full of His Word. Why? What was Satan told in this same book of Revelation? You can go down there and sting the others, but don't you dare touch those that have the seal of God in their forehead. What's in your forehead? Your brain. Those that are smart enough, wise enough to have read the instructions I send, you can't bother them, he says. Why? They're not stupid like the others. They know what's going on. They've got your number. And they're very successful in the world. So what am I saying? It's important that you be successful at what you do. Yeah, you're going to have troubles, but get your back up, reach down and get your bootstraps, you pull yourself up, and you get going. You are a can-do type person. You can do it. Why? He's going to see that you do, because He loves you. Father, we thank You, Father, for Your Word. We thank You for that seed that is planted. We thank You, Father, for giving us the platform to sow that seed in a wide hand around this world, Father, Your truth, Your Word, that helps those hurting people today that so desperately need that can-do attitude from Your wonderful, precious word. Thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.